This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron is just a couple months into his new job. The Republican represents an historic first. He's the only African-American ever to hold that position. We spoke to him in a pre-recorded conversation several weeks ago about his plans for the year ahead. Attorney General Daniel Cameron, welcome so much to the show.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
So your election was historic in Kentucky. You're the first African-American directly elected to statewide office. I'd like you to share with us what that specifically means to you.
Well, it's obviously an honor to have Kentuckians bestow upon me the opportunity to serve as the 51st Attorney General. Look, I don't shrink away from the historic nature of this race. I recognize the import of what's been done. But in my judgment, what ultimately is even more important is the fact that I hope that, you know, folks that look like me, that they recognize in this race that not only can they cast their ballot in a statewide election, but they can also put their name on that ballot and have their talents and their merits fairly considered by Kentuckians. I hope that's the point that is drawn from this race. I'm obviously, again, grateful to have the opportunity to serve in this capacity as the Attorney General here in the Commonwealth, and obviously look forward to the upcoming years and the opportunity to serve people in a meaningful way in this office.
Well, at the risk of sounding simple, Kentucky certainly has a complicated history when it comes to its relationship with its African-American citizens. And, you know, there also aren't many African-American Republicans in high-profile offices like the one that you occupy. So I guess first I'd like to ask you why you think that is. Why are there so few African-American Republicans across the country in high-profile offices, whether it be statewide offices or congressional seats?
Well, I grew up a Republican. I certainly... I grew up in Hardin County, Kentucky. My parents sort of instilled in me the values that were consistent with the values of the Republican Party, whether that be smaller government or the values and the upbringing that I had there as it relates to church and faith. And so that ultimately became, my parents were small business owners as well. And so there were a whole host of considerations went into my decision to become a Republican and register that way at 18 and proud to be a Republican. And I think that, as we move forward into this next decade, I think you'll see more and more individuals more black folks that will give the Republican Party an opportunity as they see that their values on a whole range of topics are consistent with the values of the Republican Party.
Your professional story really takes off in the context of your relationship with Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, for whom you worked. And I'm wondering what you say you learned from him as you now find yourself at the beginning of this political career.
Well, obviously I am grateful for his Leader McConnell's friendship. And I think what I've taken from him is just the willingness to be patient, patient in how you, for him, how he's worked in the United States Senate, being the leader of a conference, the Republican conference, patient in how you advance a policy agenda. For me, in the AG's office, I've got to be in the responsible position of working with folks all across the political spectrum. The public safety challenges that we have here in the Commonwealth really have no Republican or Democrat designation by them. And so I'm willing to work with whomever wants to get a handle on the challenges that we have here in Kentucky. And I know that will require patience and persistence. And so I think those are probably two of the values that I have learned from my friend, Senator McConnell.
You served as a legal counsel for Senator McConnell. Now you are the chief law enforcement officer in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Is McConnell somebody that you still consider an advisor? Is he somebody that you might ring up when you need some advice or perspective on how to proceed with some issue?
Well, as you know, I've got certainly a lot of friends who I will rely on in the coming years. I've built out what I think is a pretty strong team here in the AG's office. My Deputy Attorney General, Barry Dunn, is a fantastic friend, first, but also a really bright and talented lawyer. Brought in Vic Maddox to head up our civil division. He is a 30-plus year attorney in Kentucky and has had meaningful experience in the civil sphere of our legal system. I brought in Amy Burke, who is from the Northern Kentucky area, who's been a longtime prosecutor, worked for Stacy Tapke in the county attorney's office there in Kent County. And so she's a strong advocate to make sure that our system, our criminal justice system, is working in the way that it's intended. I've got a strong appellate branch that's headed by my good friend Chad Meredith as our Solicitor General. And then his deputy, Matt Kuhn, who is also a very strong legal mind. So there are so many folks in this office. LaDonna Coble, who is handling our Office of Senior Protection. Heather Wagers, who's handling our Human Trafficking and Child Abuse Prosecution and Prevention Unit. So many folks.
So you're saying you have a lot of people that you can turn to for perspective and not necessarily just relying on the relationship you developed with Mitch McConnell.
There are so many people in this office that I'll be relying on daily to help advise me on considerations that are important in their respective areas, and I look forward to serving all of Kentucky in this role.
Your predecessor in that office, in the AG's office, is Democrat Andy Beshear. He's now the governor. And Beshear recently gave his first State of the Commonwealth address. He applauded you for continuing the lawsuits he brought against pill companies and distributors. And before we talk about those lawsuits, what is your relationship like with Andy Beshear?
Well, I fully intend to work and collaborate with all of our statewide elected officers to get a handle on the challenges that we have here in Kentucky. I've known the governor in a professional capacity. We worked together at a law firm for a while, and certainly appreciative of his willingness to reach out and tackle some of these challenges that we have here in the Commonwealth. But I've also had great conversations with our state Treasurer and Secretary of State and Auditor and our Ag Commissioner on meaningful ways that we can work together. And that, you know, that the challenges we have include the General Assembly. And so President Stivers and Speaker Osborne will certainly be two folks that I rely heavily on, as well as the chairs of the respective judiciary committees in the House and the Senate.
What do you see as important in continuing the legal battle against pill makers and distributors who are largely blamed for the opioid crisis in the state?
Well, I think we have a huge challenge and huge responsibility to continue to pursue the litigation on behalf of Kentuckians as it relates to these pharmaceutical companies. And that is our responsibility in AG's office. I do not take that lightly. The reports are voluminous in terms of what we've seen with some of these companies and how there was some irresponsible behavior as it relates to the distribution of these drugs. So we will certainly continue to prosecute the case, if you will, in these particular areas. And I'm grateful for the support that I've received on that front.
It appears that one area of difference between you as the Attorney General and your predecessor, now the Governor, Andy Beshear, is on the area of abortion and some of the legislation that's come out of Kentucky and some other states that adopted similar legislation, now caught up in the court system. I understand you intend to, or have maybe filed, an amicus brief related to what have commonly been referred to as heartbeat bills. Is that the case?
Well, look, let me just say generally that it is my judgment that as the Attorney General, you have a responsibility to defend and enforce the laws that are passed by the General Assembly. And I am certainly going to be in the business of doing so on a whole host of topics, including those pro-life measures that have already been passed by the General Assembly. We have filed an amicus brief as it relates to some licensing challenges in Indiana. Indiana, actually, the federal courts there actually made a decision to require that the state, in many ways, directed the states to provide licensing permits to an abortion clinic there in Kentucky. So what my position is, our office's position is that the federal courts really shouldn't be in the business of sort of dictating to a state, you know, how they should undertake their licensing practices there. So that is what we've filed an amicus brief on. Also, there'll be other areas where we have an opportunity to undertake efforts to defend the laws here in the Commonwealth.
General Cameron, your office announced earlier in January that it's partnering with Cozair Charities Face It Movement, and this is focused on child abuse prevention and prosecution. Kentucky has a serious problem with child abuse. Can you talk about that issue that Kentucky faces and how your office sees its role in addressing it?
Well, this is an area that, Kentucky, unfortunately, seems to find itself at the top of the rankings in a negative way. Depending on what metric is being used, Kentucky is reported to be number one in child abuse, and that is just heartbreaking on so many levels. And so I was very honored and pleased to be with so many, whether it be Cozair Charities or Kentucky Youth Advocates, Family and Children's Place, Volunteers of America, a whole host of entities, the U.S. Attorney from the Western District of Kentucky, Russell Coleman, so many folks that were in a room trying to figure out meaningful ways as we arrive in this new decade as to how we can push back against this unfortunate tide that we see here in Kentucky. And what I've hopefully articulated in the public eye is that I really believe that the Attorney General has a responsibility to be a voice for the voiceless and to be an advocate for and to be someone who is present and there for those within our societies that are downtrodden and marginalized and in many ways and instances cannot speak for themselves. And connected to that responsibility is the responsibility to protect those within our communities that are most vulnerable. And our children, in many instances, are vulnerable and find themselves preyed upon by perpetrators as it relates to child abuse. And so one tangible step that we've tried to take in the AG's office and something that I announced during that summit that we had at Kentucky Youth Advocates facility was that we are going to be creating and developing a toolkit or a manual, if you will, that will help our prosecutors, those that are the boots on the ground, help them better pursue these cases in tandem with the investigators on the ground, whether that be at the our respective police departments or our sheriff's offices, the myriad task forces that we have around Kentucky. So I look forward to that incremental step that we can take at this juncture, at this moment, to help our prosecutors confront and pursue these cases. There'll be other things that we'll be able to do, like I told those that were in attendance at that meeting. It's not the end of a conversation, it is the beginning of a conversation about how we can take meaningful steps in this decade to push against the tide of child abuse that we see here in Kentucky. Everybody has a responsibility, in my judgment, to focus on this issue because at stake is the loss of innocence. And I want to make sure that we're doing anything we possibly can to really empower our next generation of leaders and those that will lead us in economic output, in public service, in our school system as teachers and in other professions as well. So I look forward to being able to lead and collaborate with those that were in that room and others as well that want to step up to the plate to help us confront this issue of child abuse.
General Cameron, in our last moment together, you're suited up now as the Attorney General in Kentucky. It wasn't that long ago you were suited up as a University of Louisville football player. We're here in Cincinnati, home of the Bearcats, and there used to be this great healthy rivalry between Louisville and Cincinnati until conference realignment ruined that. Can you do anything as Attorney General to help reestablish that great rivalry?
You know what? As someone who did a lot of observing from the sidelines, I'm probably not the best position to advocate for the making sure that game continues or moves forward. So I'll leave that to others with better ability to advocate on that position. But I did, you know, those were some meaningful games when I was at U of L, the keg of nails was a big deal. So I have hopefully look forward to seeing that in the future.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron, thanks so much for your time today, General Cameron.
Have a good one, my friend.